Item number five.
From the Office of the Sheriff, an informational report regarding a projected Hubert revenue deficit for 2011. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee. This item also is going to be heard by the Finance and Audit Committee.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, we do have somewhat of a detailed report that was submitted by, basically written by our fiscal administrator, so I'm going to turn the mic over to him and let him go through the details.
And this report is submitted to this committee as an informational report, but we'll be going to finance as an action. Because of a projected deficit, the Sheriff's Office were required by ordinance to submit a deficit and corrective action report to the County Executive Finance and Department of Administrative Services. Because one of the corrective actions that the sheriff chose to implement was the cancellation of contract with Wisconsin Correctional Services, we felt that that should become before this committee as an informational item.
Supervisor DeBroy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While you were in the audience, I did hear from our staff who said that the reason the resolution wasn't agendized was that it came in after the deadline, but nonetheless, the resolution is before us and we could choose to act on it. I understand from, I think, what you had said and perhaps you were saying as well that this is also going to the Finance Committee. Is that correct? And I have to tell you, I have a real concern about this. I understand that there's a deficit in your budget. But what I see is the corrective action plan is that you're discontinuing the WCS contracts for assessment and job-seeking training, job placement, and the print shop training. And then in addition, which will save apparently $291,135, or that's the estimation. And then you'd like additional fees to be approved outside of the budget. I don't have a fiscal note for the fees other than a formal fiscal note with the resolution, which I do think needs to occur. If you're going to have a resolution that brings in additional funds, there should be a fiscal note. Oh, you know what? Then I apologize. Excuse me. They did have a fiscal note. It's just not in my printout. But it doesn't say in here that doing the fees would allow you to continue the contracts with WCS. So are you doing both? Your plan is to implement fees and discontinue WCS, so the fees aren't fun, it's kind of a double whammy.
Yeah, I mean, the total projected deficit is a little over $900,000. The list of all the fee increases and the cancellation of the contract is a little more than $800,000, and this is not even sufficient to cover the full projected deficit. It is all that we have at this time. We'll continue to work on finding other ways to offset that deficit.
Okay, and that's how I read it. I just wanted to make sure that that was what you intended to do. I understand that the sheriff doesn't view job training skills as his top priority. His top priority is law enforcement and maintaining the jail. However, those are really the only thing that's left in our jail system to help reduce recidivism at all. And I understand there's a $900,000 deficit because, you know, I frankly would want to go back and say, why was there such an assumption and overestimation of the revenue from that to begin with? That's a huge number to be off the mark on, and I guess I'd be more one of my concerns is how do we get here to have that be so off. It may be a state issue, it may be a combined issue of the department or DAS or whatever, but bottom line, the jobs training programs did not cause that deficit. They're not connected to it in any way, shape, or form. And once again, anything that would reduce recidivism is what's put on the chopping block. I've been in my district with my constituents, I've felt that I've had to vote for enough cuts in this area. I've not always supported all of the additional training as the budgets have gotten cut. But we're down to, kind of the bare bones of, is Milwaukee County going to do anything to reduce recidivism or to help take a stab at reducing recidivism, or are we not within our jail system? And I am not going to support, obviously this is my reaction here, I am not going to support the Sheriff's Department balancing its Huber books on the backs of job training at this point. You've gone too far. You've cut it to the bone. And frankly, I think that this money needs to be put in a budget next year under the judicial branch or under some other branch so that it's not subject to the whims of the sheriff who's trying to balance his budget. I don't know why the county board should continue to give the Sheriff's Department these funds if that's going to be the first thing they cut. So I would hope that we have an eye toward next year as to how to figure out a way to better protect the intent of county government, which is to offer some sort of training. I understand there's different views on what the ultimate responsibility of the sheriff is, but I do think trying to reduce recidivism should be a higher priority than I've seen displayed in the last few years. And as someone who's been a pretty fiscal hawk on some of the compared to the majority of my colleagues, I got to tell you, it's gone too far. And so I'd like to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion to deny the resolution. I'm not, you know, you're doing all these additional fees outside of budget, and you're not even using them to restore the inmate training. And so that's the motion I'm going to make, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Broderick.
I couldn't help but wonder, I'm in agreement with my colleague Supervisor DeBrun, I couldn't help but wonder why these programs were chosen. There must be other areas of your budget as well that could have been used to compensate for the deficit. Could you just outline a couple of those that might have been considered?
It's easier for me to talk about why this one was chosen. The report that we received, the annual report we received from Wisconsin Correctional Services, in our opinion, was not cost-effective use of funds. We spent $242,000 for job-seeking skills and development. In the fourth quarter, 9 people found a job, only 6 retained that job for 30 days. The numbers just weren't worth funds.
What for plus, instance, I'm sorry.
Plus, the programs are also available at the CJRC, for those inmates who have been given access to that program. So if there are other inmates who we feel are suitable candidates, they could be placed and receive these services through a community justice resource center.
Well, I think it's clear to us that this provides the sheriff with an opportunity to eliminate programs that he has traditionally never liked. Is there a cost to the boot camp options, for want of a better term, that he's instituting? If there are those costs, why wouldn't we sacrifice those? Recidivism is the central question here. And for those of us who believe in remediation, believe that for every dollar spent in remediated ways, 7 are saved down the road in terms of the ultimate costs of incarceration and so on, this is a slap in the face. And I'm certainly not going to support it. I was distressed enough when I read about it in the paper. And then to see it flushed out in these kinds of terms, I mean, you know, this is regressive, to say the very least. And I think reflective of the sheriff's value system more appropriately than it is his budgetary concerns.
And if I may, the choice of leading this particular program was not trying to say that Wisconsin Correctional Service is not doing a proper job. It was partially reflective of the economy. To invest the money in job seeking and job searching, there's no job at the end of the training. It was just not cost effective, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Freeby. Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the 2 points, first on the issue of other cuts. There's been plenty of groups from the Greater Milwaukee Committee and others that have been looking at county services, and they've issued both formal reports as well as having meetings with individual county supervisors, and it's very clear that there's duplication of services between the Milwaukee Police Department and the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, that there's a whole array of services that does not need to be provided by both entities. And I'm not going to go into all of those now. I don't have any specific proposals about them. But the bottom line is a lot of folks in this community have been unwilling to challenge that duplication of services. And with all the massive cuts coming down and the now cutting to the bone on any type of recidivism prevention, I think it's time that the Sheriff's Department sit down with MPD and other law enforcement entities and try and figure out where they can reduce some of the duplication that exists out there. It can't be off the table, because apparently most training for inmates is on the table to cut. And if you're going to put that to, you know, this amount of cuts on the table, then you have to put the areas where, you know, all the bells and whistles are, you know, in law enforcement that all law enforcement entities love to do and have done historically in this community, that are duplicated services. And, that's where it's so frustrating to me. And now you want to impose a bunch of additional fees. Those all may be legitimate. I'm going to withdraw my motion to deny that resolution, because I don't think that's actually an effective way to handle that. That resolution will come to the Finance Committee, but unless this committee wants to take it up. But I will make an amendment to that resolution, either for the Finance Committee or for the Board, that would direct those funds to restore the funding for these programs. And so you'll have to find, if the Board adopts that, you're going to have to find some other way to balance the rest of your books, because I'm not willing to adopt the additional fees if it's not going to at least restore the cuts to these other programs. And so that amendment will, you know, I will certainly be making, and perhaps I can find a co-sponsor or two with that. I don't know what the Board will do with it. But, if we could have gotten these fees in the budget process, if that was appropriate to do, then I don't know why we didn't do that. Maybe they came forward and they were denied. I don't know. I don't remember it well enough. But if there is a new revenue source, I think that in addition to dealing with your deficit, at least is enough of a priority to me that we restore some of these cuts, because until I'm convinced that the Sheriff's Department has been really willing to look at its duplicated services with other law enforcement entities, I'm not willing to make this type of cut. So I am withdrawing my motion to deny the resolution at this time, but there may be more appropriate... Do you not want me to do that? There may be a more appropriate motion to make, and I might take a minute to think one up, but I think that it's better to put something in writing for the Finance Committee and the Board.
Mr. Chairman.
Inspector Smith.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I want to fill in a couple of, I think, important facts here. First of all, the $58,000 that was involved with testing of inmates, that service we can do for $1,100 by having the materials and have our own staff that are already on payroll do it. So that particular piece of the three that you see before you, that's still in play. It's simply being done with a different way of paying for it. Secondly, as far as the $48,745 associated with the print shop, that print shop training had zero results as far as anyone getting a job. It just, the results aren't there. We do have staff that are paid staff in the print shop that do train the individuals and work with them, and therefore we're not shutting down inmate labor as far as learning the print shop business, but we have people that are on paid staff that are doing the training, and we just simply don't, the job readiness piece that WCS does, the bottom line is it hasn't produced any results, so therefore hopefully that explains those two. As going to job readiness, Holly Patcher, the director of WCS, did send us a letter. Her conclusion was in agreement with us stating, we agree, and this is a quote from Holly Patzer, we agree that the contracts for services at CCF South may no longer be cost effective for the sheriff, particularly given the budgetary challenges that all county departments face. She does go through multiple issues that have developed over the last several years since that contract was implemented. And there are issues with attempting to get people jobs. The other issue is that our jail population has significantly changed, and I think that should be taken into account. Inmates that the judicial system determines that are appropriate for Huber has changed in face as who's in custody at this particular point. As was brought up, the day reporting center, which basically, if you want to look at duplication of services, the exact same programs that we were doing at South are available there. We do not have the low bail Huber inmates staying virtually in custody for the most part anymore. Those individuals are either released on GPS and sent to the day reporting center, or we have them sent, if they're low bail, nonviolent, they're placed on GPS, which are the perfect candidates that fit into this job search program. So therefore, it is a duplication of efforts, and the judicial, and I know there the concerns that have been raised here, and it's not that there's not an elimination of this programming. What it is, it's taking away the duplication that exists within the budget. So I understand what you're saying. The sheriff does support training, he does support inmate programs if it simply produces results. And the way this particular piece is set up at the South facility does not produce the results that are cost effective, and that makes sense, at least in our opinion, for the taxpayers of Milwaukee County. Therefore, what we would encourage, and of course, we do work closely with the Chief Judge who is in the room with us this morning. We're still working on solutions as to what is the proper group of individuals that are going to be at the South facility, which is, again, it's totally different than it used to be. We're much more high bail people in that facility. The low bail people are no longer there. The low bail people that you can get out and get in the community and do job search while they're still incarcerated, that's the population that this program was designed for. And Holly Patzer also puts that in her report, that that particular category of inmate doesn't exist like it used to. So therefore, the programming that we've also found, and excuse me for the long-windedness here, but when we analyzed the 258 people that were set up for a job readiness program, and we got all, at the end results are 12 individuals for 2010 actually had jobs that they lasted in more than 30 days. That is the fact. And we've documented that. So when us and when I talked with WCS and you go through what currently exists, it really is not making sense to do programming in this way anymore. So that, I hope, will at least give a little bit of understanding. We've not eliminated programming within Milwaukee County, and corrections still has programming. It's just a matter of, based on the current category classification of inmates in our system, this particular programming does not make fiscal sense. Thank you.
Supervisor, before you proceed, I'd like to ask a question. Inspector Schmidt, okay, within a year and 2 months or so, there's the narrative within the first 5 months of 2010, the Huber Work Release Inmate Program averaged 81 inmates per day. Okay, what has happened up to now for that to have changed?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, what actually is happening when you have Huber employment, the biggest issue is the job market. Mm-hmm. Individuals go out, the jobs have decreased, and therefore it's extremely difficult. We know what the unemployment rate is, and that is certainly a significant issue. So from October of 2010 through February 2011, as we put in the report, we only have 52 inmates a day going out for employment.
So part of the problem is the types of jobs, the types of training, we think. I guess there's not a match with respect to the training that's being done and the needs in the community for people to be employed, or is it just because of the economy that hardly anybody, at least in the Milwaukee economy, and I am very aware of, at least with respect to certain populations, that there's 50% unemployment with respect to males. On the one hand, and this economy has been about the same way or relatively the same way for 2 or 3 years now. I'm just trying to understand what has changed as it relates to, is it a problem of training, the jobs that are out there? People are not willing to go out there and seek jobs once they've received the training. I'm trying to understand what the big difference is. I know you're trying to meet a budget. I know you're trying to make a budget. That part I do understand. But with respect to programs, training programs for inmates, so that there's a possibility for them to seek employment. Is it just possible we don't have the services that are being utilized are just not the right services, and something could be put in their place? Because what I'm and I read the county I read the sheriff's he wrote an editorial piece, I think I read that, where he talked about the history from the 60s and before the 60s as relates to the philosophically what should happen or what could happen as relates to people who are in corrections. I read that. But what I'm trying to understand, and I will also say this, that with respect to the fees that are being offered, at least the increases in the fees, I see justification why that's, it appears just there's justification as to why that should happen. But I'm not quite understanding, I'm not quite, even though I'm hearing, and I heard what you said about low bail people versus higher bail people, I'm trying to understand, other than for philosophical reasons, and even with the opinion of Ms. Patzer that things sure have changed to some degree, I'm trying to understand why. And I agree with the fees. I look at the fee structure and the need for increasing the fees. I understand that. But I don't understand, unless there's a mismatch as it relates to training, why the training would be discontinued.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I should clarify when I said high bails, we're really talking sentenced inmates, and the particular charges associated are more serious, are the ones that are staying within our custody. The bails might have been higher when originally charged, but it's really the sentencing issue. What type of inmate do we have in custody? And those with a lower risk assessment are the ones that are, quite frankly, moving out. We have them on GPS and so forth instead of keeping them in custody. As relates to the job readiness issue, job readiness is basically teaching inmates basic etiquette. How do you go and apply for a job? What do you put on your, how do you write a resume? It's very basic things. And this really is maybe a study beyond where I should go on, as something that could be looked at by the appropriate people, but just from the simplicity of it, the type of jobs that our inmates are going out and seeking are very basic jobs. They're minimum wage on the most part. There are not those type of jobs readily available because of the plethora of people looking for work. They're not high-skilled individuals, and therefore the type of jobs that I would think that we would like them to get, they're just not ready for. To be very straightforward, and the DOTS program was brought up, why is it that we only have 12 inmates that maintain employment for 30 days is because the character level, what they need to do to keep a job, has been a significant issue. You'll note on, if you have a copy of the WCS report, that over 60 people were employed or got jobs, but they weren't able to maintain those jobs. And when I went through all the records as to why they weren't able to keep them, they were terminated, fired, with no chance of being rehired. So what, in defense of what we're trying to do is with our DOTS program, discipline order training structure, is to give them, the inmates, more of the skill set that will be a better tool to help them to try and actually, when they do get out, to be able to have a chance at employment and making a significant change in their life. So we do see value in that, and basically I understand what some people's positions may be, but we need to give a new paradigm a chance to work, and that's simply what we're asking for. Thank you.
Well, again, so part of it is the jobs aren't available for those people who complete programs. It appears that they weren't ready, attitudinally speaking, because I'm hearing that people are almost darn near almost immediately terminated for whatever jobs they have, and most, at least most of that 12, did not last over 30 days. So there appears to be a big problem with respect to that. But again, I'm just wondering, and I know the economy has been the way it has been for the last 2 or 3 years, I mean, as far as the economy now recovering from what had happened in 2007, 2008. Okay, well, I'll leave it alone for that right now. Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Broderick and I briefly talked with staff, and my original motion to deny a resolution, I'm not going to put that back in. Obviously, that's going to go to finance. I still will make that amendment that we're talking about. Another option would have been to deny the ability of the sheriff to cancel those contracts, and frankly, this committee doesn't have that authority. So that's not an option for the committee to do. According to staff, their recommendation, if members of this committee are not happy with the corrective action plan, even if they like the fees, which obviously may go forward or may be amended, but if they don't like the plan for reducing some of the training programs, is to make a motion to deny the corrective action plan. Is that correct? Okay, and so I am going to make that motion, and I've spoken on this already, but I just need to briefly respond to something, to what you said. The overall philosophy that because people aren't getting jobs in this economy after they're being released, that's the reason to discontinue training people is, I have to tell you, as a policymaker, it's such a bogus argument to me. I know you believe it or you wouldn't say it because I have respect for you, but the fact that someone who is an inmate, that they would have a difficult time getting a job in this economy, a minority inmate with probably poor skills coming into prison, heck, they got into prison, then they don't, probably not having a high educational background, then they get some training in here, they're going to be, it's a miracle that any of them are getting employed. It's a miracle. And I think there's a lot of spin happening. Because 2-3 years ago, Huber was working just fine. These contracts were training people for the future. And all of a sudden, kaboom, they're all bad programs, and they're not working. I'd like to see a lot more in writing that proves to me that somehow there's something inherently flawed with what we're training them to do. Because I've seen things in the past where if a program is training for a certain market skill that's changing over time and there's not that many jobs in that area, what historically the county's done through its contracts is then change the job training that we're offering to reflect a market versus just continuing doing the training. And the whole DOT program is a different bottleneck. I've been very supportive of being willing to look at that and moving forward with it. I don't see this as an either or. And there's no mention in this report that he's using the funds from discontinuing those contracts to fund the DOT type of training. So it's not an either-or, unless that's just in someone's mind. So I think we can be open to raising the fees to help balance out your budget. I'd like to see those fees go toward restoring some of these services. The assessment piece that you talked about, if you can do it cheaper, more effectively in-house, that $58,000, that's great. You'd have solved, you know, you'd have prevented part of the headache if you'd said that in your report. But there's nothing in this report that indicates that this is anything other than just deciding to discontinue those for fiscal reasons. And so I do make the motion to reject the corrective action plan. It will not have the legal effect of preventing the resolution from moving forward. It really is more of an indication of this policy committee objecting to the policy piece of this, which is the discontinuing of the training. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor DeBroer moves to reject.
And we have Supervisor.
Up to now, Supervisor DeBroer moves to reject the corrective action plan as stated in the report. But there is no mention, I will say, before Supervisor Jerzyk speaks, I see nothing in the ordinance, resolution ordinance that references the corrective action plan. Supervisor Jerzyk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, the way I'm reading this, it states the sheriff has discontinued with three contracts with Wisconsin Community Services for Assessment, job skills, and development. It doesn't sound to me at all like we're being asked if he should do it. He has done it. I mean, I ask if that's correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct. And that's why we saw it as an informational item related to those contracts, and then the corrective action fee changes we're going in front of finance.
Okay, so the sheriff is asking the county board to raise the fees. And I can just tell you, you know, the sheriff is not the only one who does process service. You're going from $35 per attempt to a one-time non-refundable payment of $60 for up to three attempts. I doubt very much that he's going to realize what he thinks is additional income from this, because what attorneys and those that do process serving are going to do are going to go to private process service. $60 is going to be good business for them. And I think you're going to be, in effect, putting some sheriff deputies out of work on this. So that's just my statement on that one. I also would like to see Ms. Patzer's letter, if I could. I know she would be here normally if this contract comes up. Perhaps she does agree with the fact that they can't provide services any longer. I generally agree with the tenor of Supervisor DeBruin's comments on this. But I would certainly, I have been contacted by Holly Patzer on this, and I know she's someone who regularly attends when Wisconsin Community Services issues are before this board, and I would hopefully like to see that letter you've been reading. I also would challenge the statement that Wisconsin Community Services is in effect providing the same kinds of services that the Day Reporting Center provides. I don't think that's a true statement. So I could support Supervisor DeBruin's motion. It looks to me like the sheriff has already taken action here. I would actually enjoy laying this over to get some additional information and answer to some of the questions that you raised, Supervisor DeBruin, in terms of the information, have staff look at the numbers and so on. I mean, I understand we're serving a slightly different population out there as we start doing more of the home detention or referring people to the community to the community day reporting center. You know, I can't ignore the discourse that's been going on in the community, certainly between District Attorney Chisholm and the sheriff. And it seems to me that there are two very diametrically opposed philosophies going forward between the sheriff and the district attorney, and I think the community needs to have a fairly good discussion of how they're going to support the two different approaches to to this population, but it would seem to me a layover to get some additional information, to get perhaps Holly Patzer's input. All I know is the letter that's being read. It's not that I can't support Supervisor Bruin's motion. I sit on finance, and I have a feeling finance can be asking the same kind of questions. So a layover seems to make a lot of sense, and I really question the fee increases. You're not going to get the kind of revenue you think. You're just going to cause those services to be transferred to private process servers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Inspector.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I do have a copy of the letter, which we'll be happy to give. I also have a copy of the WCS report, which includes all the services and what their statistics are for the other redundant, if you will, or same services that we have at the County Correctional Facility South. So I'll be happy to share that report with you.
Let's have a 5-minute recess so that copies can be made. And
Mr. Chairman, I'm printing
Mrs. Session.
I'm printing those reports out right now.
Oh, okay.
And if I may comment on the civil process issue that was raised.
Mr. Preview?
Currently, we're charging $35 per attempt. Two attempts are charging $70. Three attempts, $105. On average, we're just under 1.5 attempts to complete a service. The model that we came up with for the $60 for three attempts is actually, we stumbled across Fishers-Borden County, which is something that they are doing. The financial piece of it is not significantly different because most people, on an average 1.5, would be paying a little over $52 currently, and we're suggesting a $60. The more significant aspect for me and my staff is we don't have to deal with the billing, we don't have to deal with the collection activity that's related to tracking how many attempts are made on every paper. And that's where more of the savings is going to come from, not just from the financial the prepayment. I don't think there's a significant difference from an average paying the 52 versus the 60, and some that are currently paying 105 or paying the 70. I'm not going to be happy that it's only 60. So we do think that this will be a significant impact for us.
Thank you, Mr. Preview. Any other questions, concerns, or responses? Because on the one hand, as I said earlier, in the report, we have that one paragraph related to the corrective action plan, but most of the rest of the report and the resolution deal with the increase in fees. And as Supervisor Jersey has indicated, this is basically something that's already happened as it relates to the cancellation of the contracts for Wisconsin Correctional Services, so community services, excuse me, Wisconsin Community Services. So we'll go forward. Supervisor DeBruin, on the motion to lay over.
Well, there was a request to I wasn't sure where it was a motion to lay over. I was going to amend my motion to reject the CAP with follow-up information being provided that was requested at the next cycle. The motion to reject the corrective action plan is only a signal of this committee's policy difference with the policy contained in the corrective action plan to discontinue those training vehicles as one of the first priority of fixing the deficit. It is not, it will not prevent those contracts from being canceled. I recognize that he's already canceled them. Yeah. It's more of it's a public statement by a policy committee saying that they disagree with that action that was taken. And it also does not preclude the Finance Committee and the full board, or even each of us individually. And I want to make that very clear, individually saying, yes, we actually could support raising the fees if that's found to be justified through the Finance Committee. And that's why I withdrew that other motion, because some of those fees may be justified, they may not be. And in addition, I want the debate in finance to also be if we're going to allow you to implement those new fees, what are those fees going to be applied to? Are they going to be applied toward the general Huber deficit, or are they going to be applied toward first to toward maybe restoring these programs or what? And I want finance to have that discussion. So, I just wanted to make it really clear what this motion to reject the CAP actually does. It, in effect, is a statement saying that we don't support the overall guiding principle behind that the plan, but does allow the components to continue and also allows the finance committee discussion. So unless there's a different way of doing it, I'd like to change my motion or add to the motion to reject the corrective action plan to add that the additional information be provided perhaps by Wisconsin Correctional Services, including their report, even though we've got a piece of it now, and their explanations as to what they think is happening in the community and what changes they feel might or should be made to what the county's doing in job training to make it better reflective of the market, and all those other concerns and questions that were raised by Supervisor Jerzyk and perhaps other members of this committee, so that we have a fuller report at the next cycle on that piece of this.
Supervisor Jerzyk, just suggested the layover. I misspoke. Supervisor DeBruin moves that you reject the corrective action plan and report and request that additional information be provided by WCS. Then she said some other things that I can't repeat at the moment. Supervisor Jerzyk?
Yeah, and that's fine. And I can support Supervisor DeBruin's approach here. It's important to get a full record here and to get the information looked at. I'm just going to read just for the record right now the second paragraph of the Wisconsin Community Services letter, and this is addressed to Inspector Schmidt. Quote, your letter cited, quote, underperformance, end quote, as the reason for the contract cancellations. Based on a review of our outcomes, we believe this is not accurate. For the past 2 years, since the Sheriff's Department took over the CCFS, we have made the Jail Huber Committee and the Sheriff's Office aware that the significant operational changes impacted our ability to perform as effectively as we had in the past. And no time was there a review with your office to determine whether the longstanding expectations under the old system were still valid under the new rules of operation. And I'll end the quote there. It's apparent to me that the sheriff has instituted certain procedures that are at least causing some issues with regard to these kinds of services. And I'd like to an opportunity to review this in more detail and perhaps talk to Ms. Patzer. But I think it reflects some of the things Supervisor DeBruin has been commenting. There clearly is a philosophical difference here, and these costs may not be reflected in the sheriff's budget, but ultimately down the road there are going to be other costs to the community, and we need to be very careful about making these kinds of changes. And I would like a lot more opportunity to review the statistics, the facts that are behind some of these decisions, and to review Ms. Patzer's letter and so on. So there's a lot more to this than we're hearing here, I believe. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Rogers.
Just to put a cap on it from my point of view, poorly implemented programs, perhaps intentionally poorly implemented programs, can and oftentimes do result in poor outcomes, underachievement, poor performance, and that becomes the rationale for cancellation. That's not necessarily what occurred here, but it certainly occurs to me as one possibility, and one that I think is alluded to in the paragraph just read by my colleague Supervisor Jerzyk from the letter from Ms. Patzer. We don't have policy-making authority over the Sheriff's Department. We know that. We do have the purse strings. And that's what we can do to exercise public policy as influence public policy as being implemented by the sheriff. Again, I would reassert my belief that this is rationale to implement the sheriff's dearly held values, which are in opposition to those of other significant members of this community who think otherwise. and are an attempt to impose those values through this kind of, I hesitate to call it subterfuge, but it does, that term also does occur to me. And I think this perhaps foreshadows the next budget battle ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Broderick. We have a motion before us by Supervisor DeBruin. Any comments, concerns, further questions? Not met.
Can you restate the motion? I'm just in and out of the room a little bit. I believe the rejection of the corrective action plan with the report back from
additional information.
From WCS.
Additional information.
From WCS. And Supervisor DeBruin said some other things that I...
Oh, no, it all condenses. Okay. None of that.
And it's been recorded.
Thank you very much. We do have that recorded.
Good luck on interpreting it.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
DeBruin.
Aye.
Sivar.
No.
Rogers.
Aye.
Jerson.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Four ayes, two noes.